Shelley Schlender. You're about to hear the sound of an annual event that says a lot about exercise and hearts. That's the loudspeaker music and the crowd as over 50,000 people prepare to run in the Boulder Boulder 6-mile citizens race. Already, people all over the Denver metro area are training for this popular event so that when the starting gun goes off, they'll be fit and healthy and ready to give it their best. Like this grandmother walking with her family.
Hello. Can you tell us what the back of your shirt says?
It says Grandma. Grandma.
She has to read it for
81
me.
Years, 347 days young.
How long have you been doing the Boulder Boulder?
This is my 9th year. You just have to walk every day. And I try to walk every day, a mile or two.
About 4 miles into the race, here's a man who wears a cap that hints he's a heart attack survivor.
Bravehearts, 2009. All the people with this on have had a bypass or heart attack. Make sure every year be good enough to do the race, then you think you're still healthy.
You must be healthy, because here we are in the 8th kilometer.
Yes.
Every live band seems to be making heartbeat sounds. A healthy heart and exercise often seem to go hand in hand. That's the case for KGNU News co-director Joel Edelstein. Last year, he had heart surgery to replace a defective heart valve.
I now am grateful to a porcine creature for giving up his or her aortic valve and give it to me.
Do you feel more or less energetic now that you've had this surgery?
Oh, much more. It was after the surgery that I realized that I did have symptoms before. When I was walking up a hill, I didn't have to stop and catch my breath anymore. I could just go and go and go. I realized, yes, I needed to have this valve changed out. I had thought, I need to do this in order to keep things from going bad. But actually, the procedure did more than that. It really made it possible for me to do things I hadn't really done for several years.
Oh, so after the procedure, you realized that you weren't just preventing things from going bad. They had already slowly but surely been going bad.
That's right.
In addition to walking up that hill more quickly now, Joel says he's been doing more hiking.
I hadn't done the full Mesa Trail for, I don't know, probably a couple of years. It goes from Baseline and Chautauqua south to El Dorado Canyon. It's about 6.5 miles, and there's a limited amount of elevation change.
Well, I think it goes up and down at least 0.5 mile's worth of up and down, about 2,400 feet. That's more stair climbing than climbing probably the highest building in the United States.
I owe that to a pig and a surgeon and a surgeon's assistant and a surgical team and my wife, Bridget, who got me through that procedure.
We'll see if he sticks to hiking this year or if he becomes part of the throng at the Boulder Boulder. It's such a fun race. Boulder naturopathic physician Steve Parcell says that his family loves it.
My daughter and my wife do the Boulder Boulder almost every year.
And how about you? Are you an athlete?
I am an athlete. I'm a cyclist. I'm on a master's racing team. I do about 15 to 20 races a year.
Parcell says exercise benefits health in many ways. But he cautions that when it comes to the heart, some people really need to be attentive to avoid a condition caused by too much exercise.
These are these kids in high school and college that die suddenly on a cross-country run or something like that.
This is a genetic condition called hypertrophic cardiac myopathy,
yes,
where the heart, instead of getting bigger and stronger, it gets bigger and flabbier.
Think about it like this. It's getting thicker, but it's getting fibrous. What can actually happen is the heart can't feed itself. There's electrical disturbances sometimes. So there's like a healthy hypertrophy and there's an unhealthy hypertrophy. And actually, you wouldn't know the difference if you were looking at an x-ray. You'd have to do standard old EKG. It's an electrocardiogram, and it really is just the electronic signature of the heartbeat.
Oh, so the heart muscle, instead of just staying all heart muscle, it gets more fibrous, and that messes up the signaling between
right.
each heart muscle so that the beat gets all out of whack.
You can actually go into left ventricular arrhythmia, which is how people die from that. The blood cannot be pumped when the heart is in spasm like that.
About one out of 500 kids has a genetic condition that makes them more vulnerable to this problem. But as people get older, age itself can make them more susceptible. That's likely to be what killed ultramarathoner Micah True. True was made famous in the book Born to Run. He ran 100-mile races, sometimes longer. True died last May while on a run in New Mexico. He was 58. Could Micah True have avoided death if he'd had an EKG that showed the risk of long-distance running to his heart? Here's naturopathic physician Steve Parcell.
I believe so. I don't know his medical history, but I would not be surprised if he was not having symptoms and he had not been to a doctor and had an EKG. He actually had cardiomyopathy. Most likely what occurred was he went into ventricular arrhythmia, probably on a run, basically had a heart attack, not from plaque, but from massive electrical changes in the heart.
The heart was worn out enough full of enough fiber that it just couldn't signal itself.
It just kind of goes crazy and starts to spasm.
Do you, at this point, believe that most athletes should have this kind of test, an EKG?
Definitely. Grade school and high school age kids that are, especially in serious sports that are endurance sports, cycling, cross-country running, cross-country skiing, and then later, after 45 or 50, if you're really getting out there and you decided you're going to really start to become athletic again, you've absolutely got to get checked out. Even more important, if you're a marathon runner, over 50, really pushing it, doing 12 hours or more of exercise a week, and actually racing and doing half marathons and serious events like that, you should be checked out. And cardiologists is very well positioned to do the tests necessary for this. A stress echocardiogram is actually the best test.
What's the difference between a stress EKG and a regular EKG?
EKG lying down is somewhat helpful, but it's a lot more helpful when you put the heart under workload. You sometimes see changes when the heart has to work versus when it doesn't. A stress test is always more information than non. And then an echocardiogram, of course, is a type of ultrasound, and that's a step above. You get to see the heart beating. You get to see it visually, how it's working under stress. You get even more information. You can see if the valves are competent. You can see if there's abnormal thickening. You get even more information on a stress echo. You can also see if you're getting something called pulmonary hypertension, which is an unhealthy increase in blood pressure in the pulmonary arteries.
And that means the arteries that feed the lungs.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. And there's also something called exercise-induced hypertension. If you have this condition, you actually shouldn't be exercising very hard.
Now, most people believe that high blood pressure is dangerous and that low blood pressure is better. Is this something, hypertension means that when someone exercises, instead of their blood pressure going down, their blood pressure goes up?
Blood pressure always goes up when we exercise, but in some people it goes up way too high, which actually, instead of being healthier, it's actually worse. The stress echo will actually show that.
People like ultramarathoners or marathoners or long-distance runners, do they live longer or less than other people?
According to a physician's health study, which was looked at physicians, it was done through Harvard, it was a good study. They showed that the more calories burned, the more active people were, the more vigorous their activity was, the less overall mortality, they lived longer. I think that's correct to this day.
But there's a new study that indicates that up to a point that's true. If somebody exercises past a certain number of hours a week, they die sooner.
Yes, there's some newer information that is very interesting that's looking specifically at people exercising at a much higher level. I think part of the reason for this is the increase in popularity of triathlon and running still as it continues. There are older people doing much harder things than we ever used to do. It may end up being true that there are diminishing returns at some level. It's fascinating research they're doing right now. The jury is out. There are no firm conclusions.
That's the loudspeaker music in the Boulder Boulder 6 Mile Citizens Race. Steve Parcell is not the only one who says that exercise sometimes can be hazardous. Here's former Boulder doctor Ron Rosedale, who now runs a health education site.
Over-exercising is quite common, actually. This country probably has more health clubs per capita than any other country on Earth, and yet certainly is not reflected in our health. It's really very hard to find even animal studies that show that increasing exercise promotes longevity.
Still, despite the risks that can come from exercise, Boulder naturopathic physician Steve Parcell says his research persuades him that it does less harm and more good, especially if someone gets screened for the potential risk factors we've been talking about. Besides, Parcell says he likes to exercise. And so do the tens of thousands of people who run or walk in the Boulder Boulder every spring to the rhythm of those live bands that sound like heartbeats. But while exercise can be fun and good for muscle tone and lots of other stuff, it's not good for hearts in one major way. Exercise can give a false sense of security that you're safe from a heart attack. Here's Boulder naturopathic physician Steve Parcell.
I mean, exercise raises your HDL, it lowers your blood pressure, keeps your heart healthy, and it keeps your weight down. But it doesn't do much to reverse or to prevent plaque from forming if you have other risk factors.
Plaque, Parcell points out, is a major risk factor for heart disease, including heart attacks. Steve Parcell says that exercise doesn't erase the risk. He knows this personally. Steve Parcell has a genetic risk for heart disease. The evidence? His dad died at the age of 45, probably of a heart attack.
I was 12 years old when he died. It was a canoeing accident. The coroner thought it was a heart attack, which led to him drowning. The official cause of death was drowning. Then they made that caveat.
What's it like to lose your dad when you're 12?
It's a shock, and things are never the same. All of a sudden, you're the man of the family at 12 years old.
As an adult, Steve's taken many steps to take extra care of himself and others. For himself, he became an athlete.
I was about 25 when I really decided to become much healthier and start exercising a lot more. I was doing a lot of running then and skiing. That basically increased as time went on.
For himself and others, Steve became a naturopathic physician. Naturopathic physicians are licensed as primary care providers in 16 states, the District of Columbia and the United States territories of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. They're trained in the same way as medical doctors, except that instead of focusing their final years of clinical training on medical procedures such as major surgery and drugs, their focus is more on learning about and coaching people in areas such as diet, exercise, and stress reduction. At Boulder's Nature Med Clinic, where Steve Parcell is a co-owner, his special interests are cardiology, anti-aging, and naturopathic care. Steve Parcell knows a lot about how to have hearts be healthy. For his own test of heart attack risk, he says he seemed risk-free. But then, about 10 years ago, Parcell learned of a new kind of test called various things. We'll call it a calcium heart scan. Parcell took the test. So what happened when you were invited to do a heart scan in 2003?
I got the report back and it said I was in the 91st percentile.
Of being healthy and good?
No, that's bad. There are only 9% of men my age who were worse.
What does a calcium burden mean?
Well, about 20% of atherosclerotic plaque is calcium. It's like an x-ray machine. It's a CT scan, and it sees the calcium.
It's like it's seeing a scar of places where there's been plaque throughout your arteries.
Absolutely. You extrapolate from the calcium how much plaque is there.
Are you saying that even though you were a major exerciser and you were eating a pretty healthy diet, and what was your cholesterol?
My LDL then was in the 130s, my bad cholesterol, and my HDL has always been very high. It's been way above 50.
And so your HDL-LDL ratio?
It's always been amazing. Lowest risk possible.
Great numbers on your cholesterol tests. Are you thin or are you fat?
I've always been between 180 and 190.
And how tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
So what's your BMI?
Oh, my BMI is probably 21 or 22.
Your waist-to-hip ratio?
It's good.
And so all of these risk factors were saying that you're no risk at all except when you got that heart scan. And what did it show again?
91st percentile for plaque. So the actual score wasn't high, but it's based on my age. Let's say it's 40.
And were you 40 when this was done?
I was, yeah. It's rare to have that much plaque at such a young age, and that would be of concern because it grows exponentially.
Meaning that each year, if it's already growing fast, it grows even faster.
Like compounding interest, exponential, yeah, it compounds on itself. you know, like 35% a year on itself. And that's why people can have, you know, massive heart attacks in their, you know, their 50s.
At the rate it was going, your arteries were going to be nothing but plaque.
That's the concern.
Now, plaque is a big warning sign for the risk of heart attack and stroke for two reasons. First, plaque is a sort of band-aid for scratches and pustules in your arteries. It's a sign that the walls of your arteries have been inflamed, which is a bad sign for health. The second problem with plaque is the plaque itself. Plenty of plaque bandages do what scabs on your skin do. They cover a wounded area, the body repairs the wound, and slowly but surely, the scab goes away, leaving maybe a scar and maybe nothing. But you know how a fresh new scab on your skin can break off sometimes and bleed like crazy? Inside your arteries, the same thing can happen with plaque, especially when the wound is new and the plaque is unstable. The plaque can break off the wound, go sailing through the bloodstream until it plugs up an artery. Also, when the plaque breaks off, the artery lining underneath can bleed. When it does, it's like any other cut. It sends out clotting factors as well as blood, which is not a good thing for your bloodstream. Clotting factors in the bloodstream make blood clots. Many people still think that heart attacks come most often when plaque plugs up an artery, kind of like grease plugging up your kitchen pipes. But that is not the case. Arteries can be virtually free of plaque and there can still be a heart attack. It's the sudden blockage of an artery that's the most common cause of a heart attack. At the age of 40, Steve Parcell decided to turn that situation around. He'd need to make some changes, and he'd need another year to do another calcium scan score to see how he was doing.
If the second test shows that it really is growing, then you've got problems.
That second test, a year later, would be important because a calcium scan test picks up on old, stable calciums that are not a risk, as well as new unstable plaques that are a risk. That first score, it's hard to tell a difference between the two. In contrast, a test 1 year later, if the number has gone up, means that new plaque has formed. All that new stuff is unstable. Well, before we get to your second test, how could this be possible for you who is exercising so much? So many people believe that exercise is the way to avoid having any health problems at all, and certainly not heart disease.
Even just the family history is bad.
You mean that because your dad died of a heart attack, it predicts that you are more at risk for this condition?
Yeah, it's actually true. And we're not sure yet all the reasons why. When they control for other risk factors, for instance, when they do twin studies, they control for lifestyle and other things, and there's still a much increased risk if there was a heart attack before the age of 55 for a first-degree relative. We'll probably have a much better handle on it as time goes on. We're always discovering new things.
You were 40 when you had this heart calcium scan score that said, boy, are you in trouble? Are you at risk? Do you think part of the risk was because you've been exercising so much?
No one really knows. I mean, I'll tell you one thing that exercise does do. When the heart's under a lot of stress, the coronary arteries on the outside of the heart, they stretch and contract with each time the heart beats. One theory as to why, say, marathon runners might have more plaque in their coronary arteries is in their pounding and their heart's kind of jiggling up and down. So there's some mechanical stress on the artery wall. Maybe there's some oxidative stress. These are some of the theories as to why it could be bad. I don't personally believe that exercise made me worse.
When you got your second calcium scan, I mean, because there was always a chance that that first one involved some calcium deposits that had been made when you were 15 or 20, and
right,
that they'd just been there forever.
Absolutely.
So what happened a year later when you got the scan again?
Actually, it took me 2 years to redo the test.
Why did you wait?
Denial. I didn't really get it. And I did another one, and it showed that it was growing.
And what happened with the second one? What did you see?
I had gone up about 26%.
Your score had gone up 26% in the last 2 years.
That's actually relatively normal growth, believe it or not, yeah.
It is indeed normal to have a slight increase in the calcium load in your arteries every year, about 15%. That kind of growth is slow enough, it is not considered high risk. Let's say your calcium score the first year was, well, let's pick an easy number. Let's say the score was 100. it would be normal for it to grow 15% in 1 year to 115. The next year, it'd be normal for that score to be 15% higher, which means 136.5, and so on. So that means an increase over 2 years of 36.5% would be normal. Well, in 2 years, since Steve Parcell's calcium score had gone up 26%, that means it was actually less calcium growth than average. This hints that some of the diet, supplement, and stress reduction that Steve Parcell had put into place had been doing good.
What I'd done is I'd cleaned up my diet a little and started a few fairly mild treatments, nothing prescription, watched my blood pressure a little more carefully, took more antioxidants. You know, I did a pretty mild treatment, didn't take it that seriously, was not sure what to think about the heart scan. I was just kind of in shock, and I was a little bit busy. We were having little kids and stuff like that, and after the second scan, I got into high gear and took it a lot more seriously, kept doing it. I did a total of six.
And you actually published the results for your patients who come in and see you. You showed them and said, here's what I'm seeing on my heart scan.
I had the whole thing up there chronologically with what I did, positive numbers, and then the first time I saw negative 34% was very exciting.
But now, negative 34% meant, what does that mean?
It just meant that the plaque burden, the calcium burden, decreased by 34% from the year before.
Now that is a lot, because first of all, in a lot of people, once you've laid down calcium, it never goes away.
Actually, how I did it was I really dropped my cholesterol.
Steve Parcell took his already low cholesterol and he dropped it lower because he found a clue that's unusual in his own genetics.
I did have something called KIF6, which is a fascinating test. In people with this mutation, statins work about 10 times better than someone without it. If you're positive for this thing called KIF6, you are doing yourself a big favor by going on a statin.
In addition to all the other things he was doing, Steve Parcell decided to take a cholesterol-lowering medication, a statin drug.
I dropped my LDL, my bad cholesterol, down to about 70, and my HDL was in the 80s. So my good cholesterol was actually higher than my bad cholesterol. That's what it took. And I was very excited. I actually never forget driving home and calling my cardiologist on my cell phone, so excited. I'd seen negative numbers before on other patients. I'd seen a negative 10%. I mean, I only still see 4 or 5 a year at this point even. So I was very excited that I was able to see such an amazing result on myself.
How did you feel after you went on the statin?
I didn't have any adverse effects at all, and I still don't.
Do some people?
Oh, yeah, about 20 to 30%. Certain cholesterol drugs have a higher side effect profile. The newer ones, stronger ones, are much more difficult for patients to tolerate than the older ones.
What kind of side effects are we talking about?
Fatigue and muscle pain are the most common.
Brain fog?
Brain fog would be in there, too.
And you have not had those symptoms?
No. I almost felt better, quite frankly. I didn't have any muscular side effects. I had no decrease in exercise performance. I was riding my bike at high altitude. I was racing. I just took the coenzyme Q10, which is the depletion that can happen when you're on a statin. And
you took coenzyme Q10, which not everybody does.
No, it's amazing. Still to this day, in the U.S., probably no more than 10% of people take it. In Boulder, it's probably about 40%.
So you think that if someone's on a statin, taking that enzyme CoQ10 is important so that you give that nutrition to your cells to feed the little batteries called mitochondria, because CoQ10 gets depleted when somebody's on a statin.
That's right. And actually, the heart particularly likes to have coenzyme Q10, so it's a little bit of an irony there.
An irony that people take statins without taking CoQ10 to protect their heart.
Right. You know, and we may see in the future coenzyme Q10 combined with a statin. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that's introduced in the next few years, because the studies, I wouldn't say they're 100% consistent, but they're generally favorable for side effect reduction. So if you have more coenzyme Q10 on board, you get less muscle damage and fatigue.
Steve Parcell, there is also research that indicates that for some people, having a low cholesterol may reduce heart attack risk, but it increases mortality in other ways, for instance, with cancer.
I've looked at it very carefully. I did not see as much negative data as I thought I'd see. In fact, there's a new study that just came out that I posted on our oncology Facebook page showing decreased risk of cancer with statin. I thought that was fascinating. It actually showed a statistically significant decrease in liver cancer on people on statins. And go figure, because it'd be the opposite of what I would think would occur. I don't think we know either way enough about that.
One reason we may not know either way about the risks and benefits of statin drugs, you know, cholesterol medications, is that most of the studies done about them are done by drug companies. There's always a risk that they're stacking the deck with studies that make their products seem safer and more effective than they really are. Steve Barcells says that some studies do show that when cholesterol is low, it can have some surprising side effects.
There's some kind of relationship between low cholesterol. Well, it's death, but it's also violent death.
There's a correlation between low cholesterol and depression.
Yes, definitely, especially in people who are kind of just have low cholesterol without treating it. You know, it's always about risk-benefit. I don't think statins are overly dangerous. I think they're overly prescribed. I think they're underprescribed.
Well, you just said that they're overprescribed and they're underprescribed.
Yeah, it's basically standard of care. Mr. Jones, your LDL is high, 140. Your cholesterol, if it says high on the lab, your family doctor is going to recommend a statin without any other testing at all. And you're on that for the rest of your life. So the problem there is you could still be growing plaque, thinking that you're fine, or you have no plaque to begin with. I've seen this a lot of times. Cholesterol is only maybe 20 to 30% of the problem. So there's a lot of people with elevated cholesterol that have no atherosclerosis, no coronary artery disease. So this is actually costing money. There are a lot of people that don't need any treatment. But you've got to look. You've got to actually see if there's plaque first.
And in fact, if somebody's getting a statin and they don't have plaque buildup, then they're being subjected to a lot of risk of side effects.
Absolutely. And there's no disease they're treating. They're treating a number on a piece of paper. They're not treating any type of medical condition.
Steve Parcell has written a book about heart health called Dare to Live, and he's still exercising and loving it, as are the many athletes out there exercising for the fun of it and to get ready for events like the Boulder Boulder. And the thrill of making it to the finish line with the live bands along the way all sounding like some songs of beating hearts. This has been part 3 of the Heart Attack Chronicles. Tune in tomorrow at 3 for part 4, which will be about stress and will include someone else who's done a heart scan.
I tend to, before major tests, if I think about it, I get nervous. You know, fears, my worst outcomes, like they're going to find that my heart is now full of calcium or that I have some, you know, rare malady of heart cancer or something.
Find out more about what Sam finds out tomorrow. You can also tune in on Thursday morning this week at 8:35 when we'll have a call-in show. If you'd like to find out more about this series, go to kgnu.org/metro. For KGNU, I'm Shelley Schlender.